Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Playwright Tennessee Williams was someone who didn't like this town, the town where he grew up, so he left. We'll talk about a local tribute to him a little bit later, after we chat with some folks whose job it is to get people to like our town well enough to come here and spend money. St. Louis covets visitors who come here as conventioneers and tourists. They represent an important part of the local economy. Our first guests are charged with bringing outsiders into the St. Louis tent. They are from the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission. Kitty Ratcliffe, its president. Steve O'Loughlin is a commissioner and president of Lodging Hospitality Management. Thank you, folks, so much for being with us.
Thanks, Don. Glad to be here.
Good thing Tennessee Williams is not around. Still around.
But he left a great legacy.
He left a great legacy, and it had nothing to do with the town. I think it was his family life that was a problem for Tennessee Williams. Kitty, let me start with you. What does convention and visitor business mean to the city of St. Louis?
Well, it's about a $5 billion industry.
With a B.
With a B, billion. And that's new money that comes into our community annually that we wouldn't have otherwise. About 85,000 people are employed in the hospitality industry overall. Those are a lot of small businesses, a lot of restaurants and small audiovisual companies, as well as the larger businesses that people normally think of, like hotels, taxi cabs, airport. It keeps a lot of people working.
What's the glide path been like? It's been going up steadily or pretty static or what?
Yeah, we've had a couple of bumps in the road in the last few years. Certainly the issues surrounding the problems in Ferguson created a few bumps for us, and a few years prior to that, we had a national economic issue that affected meetings and conventions. But other than things like that, it's been a progressive upward trend for us in our community. Our product's gotten better. It's easier for people to get here. The hotels are doing great. And, we've got a great community.
Steve, how do you overcome those bumps?
Well, there's still a lot that is good with St. Louis. I think we've got a great package. Like Kitty said, we're right in the middle of the country. I had a meeting planner that he spent $1 million alone with our Doubletree Union Station in Hilton Ballpark about 3 weeks ago. And he said he's tired of going to Chicago just because it's so expensive and St. Louis is such a friendly town. So there's a lot that we have going for us in terms of bumps. One of the things that Kitty and I are working on is improving our convention center. So if you look at our original building, so if you're facing the convention center on Washington Avenue, that building was built, I think, in 1977.
That's correct.
So that's almost 40 years old. and then if you look at the dome portion that was built in 1995, so that's 20 years old. So as we promote our city and meeting planners are looking around the country, Nashville is a convention center that just opened up in 2013, and the city spent almost $700 million on this convention center. So it's lights out. It's got all the bells and whistles. So as they look at St. Louis and our package, I think our hotel package is probably the best it's ever been. All the hotels have renovated. And if you look at the experiences for conventioneers like Washington Avenue, we've got Pirano that opened up downtown, and Bailey's Range and Sugar Fire. So there's a lot of activity for conventioneers. But when they come in and they see or they compare our convention center versus Nashville and Denver and a couple of the other new ones, those are some of the things that we have to work on.
And the convention center itself, Kitty, is something that needs to be upgraded.
Absolutely. You know, as Steve said, it was originally built in 1977. And, we had a clause in the lease with the Rams that required us to spend the last 5 years really focused on the football team and not on the convention center and the convention facilities. And while we were doing that, our competitors were building new convention centers and expanding their facilities. And that's what our customers see, our potential customers see, when they come to visit us, take a look at our community, and then they go and look at Denver and Indianapolis and Nashville and some of the others and make a decision about where they're going to hold this very important event for their organization. And our facility isn't quite stacking up anymore.
What does the loss of the Rams mean going forward? I mean, the team is gone. I'm talking about the facilities that are left behind and how they can be utilized.
Well, the football stadium needs to be better integrated into the convention complex. When the football stadium was built in the 90s, it was placed next to the convention center. But it doesn't have very good connectivity. So it's not very contiguous. And the look and feel is very different than the convention center. And the spaces within it aren't really designed as convention spaces. So we use it for conventions. Mm. We use it very effectively for some conventions. But if we can make some improvements to it, we can use it for a lot more.
See, I thought you were starting to say something there when I...
So just piggybacking on some of the capital improvements that we do have resources in the past to improve the facilities. But like Kitty was mentioning, a good portion of that went to the scoreboard, and I think that was $30 million. So that had a relatively short life. Had we been able to invest that into other parts of the facility, that would have made us a lot more competitive.
So in terms of what needs to be done, obviously you want to make the football stadium something that could be utilitarian for conventioneers, correct?
Absolutely. You know, we use it now. We use the floor of the dome as an exhibition space. Yeah. But it resides by itself because it's surrounded by a bowl of seating, 67,000 seats within the facility. And so it's not as if there's a seamless flow from the exhibit halls in the convention center into that space. And that so that's one example of improvements that would need to be made to use it more effectively as a convention facility.
What's it going to cost?
Well, it depends on what we do with it. We've been looking at different design options. As Steve knows, we spent a good amount of time last year with a consulting team interviewing past users of the building and potentially future users of the building, asking them what they would need to have in St. Louis to select us as their convention venue. And they gave us what those elements are, the amount of exhibit space, the amount of meeting space, the size of the ballroom, access to loading docks and where those are located. And so we've been taking from a design perspective, we've been taking those elements and trying to fit them into the footprint of the facility that we have. And we've got three different options that we're working on right now. And so there's a range. But right now we believe that range is between $350 and $450 million, which if you look at that and compare it to what the other cities are doing and have been doing in recent years, it's actually a pretty reasonable figure.
Are we talking, Steve, taxpayer money here or what?
Well, that's the big question. A lot of what we can generate in terms of financial tools is self-funded. So the hotel tax is about 20%. With that tax, we can self-fund improvements to our own convention center. But there may be other financial tools out there to accomplish that. And we are benchmarking cities like Nashville that had some taxing mechanisms that were taxing hotels, car rental, restaurants, and they came up with $700 million to do their facility. And I think it's a great example to see what they accomplished as a community. Prior to this convention center, they had a relatively small convention center. It was only about 250,000 square feet. And you might consider Nashville kind of a sleepy convention city. Now, and this went up just very recently in 2013, it's absolutely exploded. So, in my mind, I could be a little bit biased coming from the hotel industry, but they built their footprint. It's about 1,200,000 square feet. It's about three city blocks with their convention center. And then they built a 1,200-room Omni hotel right across from it. And then if you just look at Nashville, it's almost the heartbeat of that city. And if you go there right now, there's probably 20 cranes in downtown Nashville. They've, building hotel after hotel, downtown residential. And that's another thing that I think conventions bring to urban areas is that when you have the conventioners downtown, it brings some energy and it spurs that retail. And if you have that retail component downtown, the young people are going to want to move downtown, and it's going to improve that density, and then, you know, companies are going to want to move downtown. So I think, you know, conventions are also a catalyst to other things that can benefit the community.
Kitty, that's a lot of money that we're talking about here. And the Post-Dispatch raised the question recently, is it worth it? Is it worth $700 million?
Well, we're not talking $700 million. Yeah. Nashville certainly felt $700 million was worth it. We're at about half that. And so I think that's very reasonable in terms of the size of the facilities and what they bring in terms of a return on that. The answer to that question is a resounding yes. Most definitely, is it worth it? You know, when you look at Washington Avenue today as an example, and Steve brought Washington Avenue up a minute ago, and I think it's important to note that Steve's hotels are not on Washington Avenue. So this is not a direct benefit to Steve to talk about it. But when you look at Washington Avenue 20 years ago and compare it to today, the catalyst for that significant change in that on that street is the fact that the southern expansion of the convention center was done in the early 1990s. And prior to that time, that strip there of Washington Avenue for the decade or two decades beforehand was not necessarily a place where you would go to go to dinner. Today, that's very different. You know, that entire MX development was able to be financed because it was going to be located right across the street from the convention center. And so today you have an Embassy Suites hotel. You have the Pirano Pasta that Steve mentioned. You have a pie pizzeria. You have the National Blues Museum and much, much, much more. And so a convention center is that kind of catalyst for economic development.
Is it fair to extrapolate, and I'll probably take some heat for even suggesting this, but is it perhaps a blessing in disguise that the Rams leave? I mean, if it brings in more convention business, are we better off financially without the team?
Oh, that's such a terrible question. Because we worked so hard for so long to try to meet the terms of the lease. And I, you know, that was a big part of my job for several years. I didn't write the lease. I didn't sign the lease. We had a clause in the lease that we were stuck with. But no one wanted to lose the football team. You know, everybody wanted to have the NFL in our community. But at what cost? Right? And that's what it really comes down to, because the return on investment financially was not there. The return on the civic pride was a big component of why we wanted to keep the team. It does open the door, if we can make the improvements to the facility, to be able to attract more business year-round.
So we don't call it a blessing in disguise. We simply say that we'll be better off in certain ways, right? I've got to take a break. Let's do that now. We're talking with Kitty Ratcliffe, who is the president of the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission, and we have Commissioner Steve O'Loughlin with us as well. We'll continue our conversation about the convention business in St. Louis and what it means to our community, and we'll bring you into the conversation when we come back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation on convention and visitor business in St. Louis. And let's go right to the phones and bring in some folks who want to get into this conversation. We'll start with Margaret, who's calling from Dogtown. Go ahead, Margaret. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate all that they're doing because I've lived here my whole life. But Missouri has an image problem. The image problem comes when we have repeated demonstrations in Ferguson, and I hear on the news today the pride citizens have in blocking the police. That goes across the whole nation, that message. Then I hear today with the concern about heroin on the rise, and people having neighbors or children that they're aware of who have this challenge and this disease are being blocked by certain legislators in Missouri. We're the only state that does not participate in a pharmacy information site that allows us to know where there's a problem and who's asking for this medication.
Margaret, let me just stop you right there. That's a little bit off point, I think, what we're talking about. But your concern with some of the image issues is something we will talk about. So you talked earlier, Kitty, about bumps in the road, and what she's mentioned, certainly one of them.
Yeah, certainly, Margaret, I appreciate the concern about Ferguson and the issues surrounding that. It was not only an issue that we were focused on locally, but as you've noted, that received national and even international attention for quite some time and did some damage to the reputation of the state of Missouri as well as the St. Louis region. And regardless of your perspective on it, you know, there was enough, you know, heightened awareness and a bit of vitriol going around that had some significant damage, excuse me, to our reputation. So we did some focus groups. We went to Washington, D.C. and Chicago and did focus groups with the organizers of conventions. Both the CEOs of national associations as well as their meeting professionals to try to understand better what impact this might have on our ability to bring those groups to St. Louis in the future. We also did similar types of focus groups, but blind panels on the leisure side in Memphis and in Indianapolis and in Chicago. And, you know, what we learned was that everybody had a different opinion about it. And the leisure people said to us that it really was not going to be a deterrent for them to select St. Louis. So we moved on with leisure. But on the meeting side, they said, it's going to take us off the table for a little while. And you're going to have to learn how to talk about it in a way that is open and transparent, because every group, every meeting group is going to have a different opinion about what transpired there and what it means for them. And so we're still dealing with the effects of that, and you're absolutely right about that.
Steve, what about the crime image in town? Putting Ferguson aside for the moment. We've been called the most dangerous city. We're all familiar with the things that have been alleged. How much of an issue is that in terms of drawing business into the community?
It can come up from time to time, but I think you know, all urban areas have their issues, and it's something that we have to address. But we do respond to those concerns. I think First Robotics is a great example of how Kitty and her staff and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police address that convention. So we had 50,000 kids within downtown St. Louis, and you couldn't walk a city block from the convention center, from a hotel, without seeing their presence. So they did a great job responding to that concern.
Well, nonetheless, it is out there, and
correct.
I think local media doesn't help very much with the over coverage, I would call it, of crime news, making it appear as if blood is running through the streets of downtown St. Louis. It's been going on for a long time. Hey, Kitty, back to some good news. That would be the legislature today apparently has done something that you're very happy about.
They did this morning by a vote of 111-43. The House approved a bill that we had been working with our colleagues around the state with for the last couple of years, and that bill had previously passed the Senate. So it now goes to the governor's desk. It's called the Meet in Missouri Act, and it's a program that will help Missouri cities compete against non-Missouri cities for nationally bid convention business. At a grant program, basically through the Department of Economic Development.
So it could help incentivize business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Back to the telephones now. Raul joins us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Raul. You're on the air.
Yes. Just a quick question. First of all, I think the convention center as it is looks quite elegant with the brick front. That's just a personal opinion. But I wondered if with these huge outlays, if you could just set that aside mostly, maybe do some, you know, retouching of the structure, and then you have something you can offer a much lower cost to potential conventioneers. And I wonder that why that approach isn't being tried, or if it is. And that the second comment, the flood in and flood out approach, whether it's from a football team or conventioneers, is not really the hallmark of a real city. And to try and structure a real city about these tidal waves of people coming in and coming out and hoping they leave some money behind, I think it's an impoverished way to approach it. It's more like a suburban approach to city rehab. So that's just my comment.
Well, Raul, first of all, I think your comment about the facade, the Washington Avenue entrance, is a good one. I agree with you. I think it is quite elegant. That is the most elegant part of the building. As we noted earlier, the original building was built in 1977. Southern Expansion was completed in 1993, and then the Dome in 1995. Those are almost three different buildings, and they don't flow very well together, and there needs to be some pretty significant improvements in order to make them more functional. But, you know, we are looking at how to do that, and I think we've got some good designs on that. Your comment about just offering a lower cost really ties back to the question Don just asked me about what the legislature did. You know, we find for this nationally bid convention business, quite often we have to offer the convention center at no rent, and we don't like doing that. But if Indianapolis offers it at no rent and Denver offers it at no rent and Nashville offers it at no rent, then the only way we're going to get the business is by offering it at no rent. So there really isn't any room to reduce the cost on that any further from an operational perspective. We're offering a pretty good deal as it is. I think your last point, though, I'm going to take you to task on that, because while I do agree with you that the massive waves of people coming in and out is not the only thing that a city should have in order to be a real city, it is a significant contributor to the economy, and it creates a huge number of jobs. It sustains a lot of economic activity in our community, and we need to have that as a base while we continue to work on getting more residents to move into the community, as well as other types of jobs creation. And there's a tremendous amount of job creation going on in this community when you look at the innovative spaces that are happening at T-Rex and Cortex and lots of other development. But it's a big piece of the puzzle, but it's not just one thing.
You make it sound like this is a pretty cutthroat business, Kitty.
It is. I mean, it's competition. I mean, it is as competitive as any other business, and St. Louis is our product. And that's, you know, we just have to figure out how to market our product, how to sell our product, what kind of deals you have to offer. You know, it's why businesses have sales. It's why you negotiate on everything. When you go to buy a car, you don't just pay the sticker price. You expect to negotiate. Hmm. Every customer expects to negotiate when they walk into our store.
Steve, what's our greatest need in order to accomplish all the things that Kitty just mentioned?
Well, just to kind of go back where we started, we have a 40-year-old original convention center, that original portion. So aesthetically, to Raul's point, there are some things that we can do that can be done cheaply. It's just aesthetics and natural light and some infrastructure things that's important. Kitty was talking about the connectivity between the dome and the exhibit hall. That's very important. I think the best way for people to recognize that is when you go into the auto show, you're coming into the dome and you're seeing the cars. Then you go through that small choke point where they have the food and beverage. Then you get to the rest of the convention center. So we do need to improve the height of that choke point, and we need to make it wider so it's more seamless.
We have an email here from Gina, who was wondering if speaking of the legislature, bringing back film tax credits would be a big help to this community.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a bill. I think Representative Swan has sponsored a bill for at least the last 3 or 4 years. I think this year it's bill number 1645, but I could be wrong on that bill number. Trying to bring the tax credits back. I don't think that's going to make it through again, because there's the legislature has some hesitancy about tax credits as a rule, as a way to do it. But, you know, I've been in St. Louis for 10 years. the first couple years I was here, we still had those tax credits in place, and that's what helped bring Up in the Air here to St. Louis. And Steve would talk about the details on that.
We were the host hotel for that. I'd worked with Jason Reitman, the director. He did Juno and ended up bringing it to St. Louis. And our hotel, this is right in the middle of the recession, ended up doing almost $600,000 worth of revenue, much needed, right in the middle of the recession. And just some comments from – I'll never forget this. I was driving around with Jason Reitman and just – absolutely loved St. Louis. So I know we hear some of the concerns about our area, but love the architecture. And he was trying to do a follow-up meeting here. It was a movie called Fun Size. It ended up in Detroit because our tax credits ran out. He was basically begging us to do that movie here in St. Louis.
All right. Well, it's an issue that comes up on this program time and time again. We're going to have to end it there, folks. I want to thank you so much, Kitty Radcliffe and Steve O'Loughlin, for being with us and bringing us up to speed on what's going on with the Convention and Visitors Bureau business here in St. Louis.
Thanks,
thank
John.
You so much.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.